Welcome to Cue the Clarity. I'm your host, Mina Kunlositep. I'm here to help you discover and get clear on how you operate as your best self to create more success, more happiness, and more peace in your daily life and business. Let's do this. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cue the Clarity. I'm your host, Mina Kunlositep. I'm excited for today because today we're going to be talking about how you can live a not so average life. And it doesn't take as much as you think that it would. I've been having this thought about making your life your own and what that takes. And it feels like this big, ambitious goal, when in reality, it really isn't, because the average life turns out is pretty minimal. So pretty minimal effort. So I'm going to get more into that, the way that I approached it, because I started digging into what the average, at least the average American does. And the average American does not take care of themselves well at all. So if you want to live a not so average life, start taking care of yourself and start pouring into yourself and committing to yourself, because you are the only one that can do it. So I love this thought because it gives you control of what you can do and how you can transform or make your life your own, how you can design your life how you want to and make it feel not so average, because the not so average person isn't taking care of themselves. I am kind of getting over being sick a little bit. I haven't felt that well. Today, I'm feeling a little bit foggy brain, so I'm going to get these thoughts out as best as I can. But I wanted to share with you kind of the statistics and the track record of the average person. And I know that you can live an extraordinary life just by taking care of yourself, pouring into yourself. And you'll see that I'm going to be going through the slower mornings framework, the methodology of it, where if you want to reset your life or if you want to start making your life your own, you will take kind of a slower pace, a pause if necessary, and you approach it in a way where it'll establish a foundational habits and foundational values of you living and designing the life that you want. And I'm not going to be mentioning the average person takes this many vacations or the average person drives, I don't know, this type of car, or the average person makes this amount of money. Those are all external things. What I want to do today is show you how it starts. Abundance is really an inner work piece, right? It's about doing the inner work. And when you take care of yourself, that overflows into everything around you. So let's go through slower mornings. It is silence, liquids, outside, writing, exercise, and reading. And when I was going through that big transition in my life and feeling like I was, I don't know, uprooted, upended, and I didn't know what to do with myself, and I didn't know even what my life was about, I established this slower mornings routine of sorts, because it gave me a way to not have to make big decisions on what I was going to be doing and how I was going to be discovering what I wanted in life. And it started with that habit of taking care of myself, of establishing those habits that I didn't have to make up my mind on what I was going to be doing. So not so average. I want to go into what the kind of bare minimum or the benchmark of you, my friends, living an extraordinary life. And it's not even, it doesn't even start with something that feels so out of reach. Okay. So let's start with silence. You know that I am a big advocate of starting your morning in silence, because it gives you a way to shut out all the noise that is out there. A lot of times what happens is that if we reach for our phone, which I used to do, you end up either going on social media or you end up going to your team if you're running your business, right? But it puts you in a mode where you're kind of in a different person's environment, a different person's ecosystem. So in social media, you're waking up to this kind of like fake dopamine hits of living in their world when really waking up in silence into your own world and listening to your own inner voice and shutting out that noise can be the best thing that you can do because it gives you that self intuition that you're tapping into. And if it's your team that needs something from you, it gives you a way for you to kind of get grounded and foundational on what you want and what you desire versus jumping into what something that somebody else wants from you, right? Where it's where you are reacting or that you are accommodating to something else that somebody needs from you instead of coming from a space where you are working from what your intentions are for the day. So silence can be so, so great for that. So the statistic I wanted to share with you is how much the average person spends on the internet and how much the average person spends on social media. I couldn't find how many people reach for their phone in the mornings, but I bet you it's a lot of people because it becomes a habit, right? But let me share with you. So for the average American, they are spending 2.5 hours per day on social media. It's actually much more than that if you take in surfing the web on any device. So this is Global Digital Insight. So the average person typically on social media spending 2 hours and 23 minutes per day using social media platforms. On average, this means that social media accounts for 35.8% of our daily online activities. So 1 in 3 internet minutes. Okay. That's because the 1 in 3 internet minutes, we're all spending 6 hours and 40 minutes surfing the web on any device. Only 1 in 3 of that is the social media. So I wonder what the other 2/3 is. Maybe it's, I don't know, surfing the web. What are we doing? looking at news. Hopefully it's, you know, something educational, but it's a lot of time on the internet, right? It could be watching YouTube. I don't think they actually count that as social media platforms. And so that is a lot of time, right? Where you were automatically turning to the internet. I feel this too, because as we hear the talks about them banning TikTok, there's a part of me that's like, yes, ban it, and part of me that's not. I learn so much from TikTok, whether it becomes like practical tips that I'm living in my life or things about, I don't know, self-regulation and emotions, or it just makes me laugh or whatever else. But it has become really addictive for me because of the short form content. And every time that I feel like I am not feeling well or in the comparison trap or not taking care of myself well at all, I know that I have to limit my time on social media or limit my time on my phone altogether. And so one of my friends actually had reached out to me and she was asking me if I ever, you know, become worried about like the state of the world. She was really having a hard day. She was kind of like spiraling out the way that I do when I feel like out of control in a sense. And she didn't realize that I actually do that too. And I told her, of course I do. I think everybody does, especially as entrepreneurs. We definitely have like the ups and downs in our journey and in our lives that we have to navigate it. There's so many challenges that come up every day in like this perpetual state of having to market our businesses or figure out what's going on out there in the world and adjust to that and be agile. And I told her a couple things. Like one of the things that I do is I stopped watching news at night. I found that it was like an aggravator for my anxiety. I just would get so consumed in my thoughts and, you know, my unconscious mind when I was going to bed. And so I just quit doing news at night. I also quit social media for a bit. I would limit my time. I would limit my social media for a time is what I told her. Like for a time, like, so like maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. I think that there needs to be like a step back where you just like have to take a pause sometimes because you get consumed by it. And so when you're thinking about the average person that's doing 2 hours and 23 minutes on social media, do less than that. If you're spending an hour, you're being a not so average human, right? You're being a not so average, extraordinary person by not spending a lot of time on social media. Because while it can't, that was kind of my excuse, right? Like, I'm learning so many things and, you know, it's a great connector and all these things. But at the same time, I can gain those benefits by even limiting my time on there. So how do you be a not so average person? You take care of yourself. And that means maybe setting some tech boundaries as an initial thing of what it can be really easy to fall into the noise of all these other voices, all these other external things, and carving that spaciousness and that time where you're just in silence and listening to your own intuition and honing that muscle of trusting yourself. So that is step one of a not so average life. Okay. Next is liquids. So the average person, and I do agree with this because y'all, it is a full-time job drinking water, isn't it? So the amount of water consumed by most people that they should be getting is equivalent to about 8 16-ounce water bottles for men and just a little bit more than 6 for women. I thought this was odd because I thought it was flipped, but we'll just go with this as a loose barometer, okay, a loose benchmark. And how much are people actually drinking? They're drinking about 3 glasses. The average person, male or female, is drinking about 3 glasses versus the 6 or 8 that they're supposed to get. Let me ask you, are you drinking more than 3 glasses of water a day? And in this case, they're talking about 16-ounce glasses, which is more than how I see it. I was really going off of like a can of beer, you know, obviously a can of water. It would be, if you've ever seen Death Water marketed, that is a 16-ounce glass or a 16-ounce can of water. And so people are drinking 3 of those a day when really they need anywhere from 6 to 8 of those. And most people are chronically dehydrated. So over 47% of Americans are chronically dehydrated. And I see some statistics that go all the way up to like 60% because we only get about 3 glasses a day. So if you want to live a not so average life by taking care of yourself and pouring into yourself, literally do that by glasses of water and drink more than 3 per day. And I should have said this in the beginning, but as I started doing the habits of taking care of myself, there is plenty of people that told me like, wow, you're looking really good, or you seem like you're doing really well. Why? Because it's like the inner goodness is shining from the inside out. So as you're doing these things of, you know, trusting yourself, the intuition, the drinking the water, all of that will pour out of you, or it will shine out of you, right? You'll be able to like rise and like truly shine, right? Instead of rise and grind, one of my least favorite sayings. And so for all of you that are out there and are thinking, I want a not so average life, well, start drinking more water. And that could just be a little extra something that you do where it's like 4 glasses a day. And then you start getting up to that 6 or 8 glasses that we typically need. Okay. Next is outside. And so I love the benefit of outside because in the mornings when you're getting your face into the sunshine, it kicks on your circadian rhythm. It makes you give yourself this like serotonin that is like the basically the neurotransmitters of feeling good, right? It makes you feel good and it kicks on your circadian rhythm so you can jump into your day and be more productive and soak up the sun. But there is something about fresh air also that makes me feel like a little bit wild. Like, One of the my favorite sayings is keep me safe, keep me wild. Keep me safe, keep me wild. And when you're out there, you know, drinking that fresh air and soaking up that sun and you're just outside, it's so different than being inside. And the statistic is that 58% of US adults say they spend at least 30 minutes per day outside. One third spend more than a half an hour outside. So that's pretty good, right? So 58% say that they spend more than 30 minutes outside. So that means the flip side of that, 42% say that they spend less than 30 minutes per day outside. How does that happen, right? I think we've all been there where we're just like, I did not even get a minute outside today. And being out in the wild is just so good for you, so good for your skin, your body, your mental state, all of it. And there is, you know, so there's a saying that is supposed to be like, I don't know, not derogatory, but like, it's not a good saying per se. It's in Thai Dom, it's if your kids come in from outside and they stink, like they stink outside. I know we all know what this is, but there's no American word for it. And no English word for it where it gets translated. So it's kind of lost in translation. But you know, like when your kids come in from outside and they smell kind of like that stinkiness, or sometimes people think it smells like salt air, or it smells like there's a Thai Dom saying it's I cao my noi. And that means you stink like a little dog. So it smells like a dog in a way, like a wet dog, or, you know, that sort of thing. I cao means something that's not pleasurable in a way of like if you eat a fish and they say it's I cao, it means that it has a gamey taste, like a not so fresh taste. And same with like if you eat venison or something and it has that gamey flavor to it, then you're just like, oh, that's not fresh. I've always felt like in my mind, I've loved that saying because I wanted to have that. I think it's because like we never got to go outside very much when we were kids. And when we were outside, it was like we had to be so close. Like we didn't get to venture out or anything like that. And we weren't like, even with, watching fireworks, my parents would have us, you know, till we were like teens, watch it inside because they didn't want us to get mosquito bites, right? And so there's like, we really were in like this little bubble. And so I've always thought of like getting that smell as like something I've always wanted. So when I smell that on my kids, and they know the saying, I say it all the time, it's not something bad. In fact, I've always think that, you know, that's a good thing when they come in smelling like outside, because that means that they were living their best life outside and getting that sunshine, getting that air. And that smell is like proof of that, you know, evidence of that. So the average person spends about 30 minutes outside. You can spend more time outside. So it could be that you schedule in a walk every morning or in every evening, or you even just sit outside and breathe in that air. We currently are in kind of like a weird weather situation here in the Midwest, and it is super windy, but some days it is unbearable because it's cold, and other days it is warm air. So get out there, and despite whatever weather it is, like bundle up and don't let that be the thing that keeps you from going outside. Okay. So next is writing. And when I talk about writing, I really feel like writing is a superpower. Journaling is a superpower. Only 8% of the population currently keeps a journal. And then the additional 22% have kept a journal or diary in the past. And that is a statistic from 2020. I wonder if that's gone up or gone down. But even when I think about like journaling, I think about note-taking, you know, writing things down. My daughter, so all her grades are online. All of her work is done through a Chromebook. Is that what they're called? Those computers. I told you I was kind of off today, right? The computer is Chromebooks. And then she keeps her own notebook. But for a long time, she kept saying that she kept forgetting. And then we get notified by email if she doesn't turn things in or whatever. And she's like, oh, I keep forgetting, because she'd be in wrestling or track. And for example, today she is in track and then she goes straight to her band concert, right? Where she plays the alto sax. It's a lot going on, right? Life is lifing for a lot of us. And I told her, you need to start writing it down. I think it's a disservice when you force yourself to keep things in your brain. When you're keeping something in your brain, there's only so much that you can keep in your brain, which is why I love to put everything in the calendar. And I also like to take notes, whether it's a recipe or it's things I want to do. I write it down and I physically write it down. It's a way of reinforcing it to me. And note taking can really be a superpower in that way. Where if you learn to note take, then it can really be beneficial for you throughout your life. And it sounds like only 8% of people currently journal or, you know, have a diary. In episode 2, I talk about the give cycle, which is how I approach journaling, which I only do on Mondays and Fridays now, because I want to really set the intention of really getting into it. But that give cycle that I go through in my brain of writing things down is gratitude for G, I for setting my intentions of what I want the week to look like or the wrap up of the week, V for my vision. So it's like that's the bigger picture, the where I want to be or how I want to feel in, let's say, 5 or 10 years, like the future self of Mina that's further along the line. And then E is emotions, where I'm writing about I feel this, or I feel upset about this, or I feel excited about this. And it's able for me to learn how to manage my emotions, but acknowledge my emotions at the same time. And it's been so super helpful in that way. And so for all of you that are thinking that I don't know what to write about, though, that's a really good way to do it. And hopefully we get up more than 8%. Because if you want a not so average life, taking care of yourself by getting your emotions out, practicing gratitude, being grateful for who you are, you know, increases your self-worth and your self-identity of the way you even talk to yourself, right? Because your thoughts are really your reality, then that can be super, super helpful as well. And so 90% of us, 80 to 90% of us are not writing or journaling. So be of that 8% or that 20%, you're already way above average. You're already way not so average, right? And so start doing that and tapping into the power of journaling / writing / note taking. And I think that's a skill set that will help throughout your life. And proud mama moment. Now my daughter loves to take notes. So I taught her in a way where I told her she can just like bullet out. This is the way that Corning University does it, where it's like you partition your piece of paper into thirds. And so one third of it is the bullet. One third of it is an overview of what kind of One third of it is like you're actually taking notes and you're kind of like in a way like regurgitating those notes. The other third of it is like the summary bullets of that, if you want to call it bullets, but it could be like synopsis really. And then the other last third of it is like your takeaways. So when you're doing that, you're able to engage your mind in a different way and really remember it easier. It's especially powerful for people who are like visual learners, because then you see on a piece of paper, just like if you remember studying back in university or in school, where you remember, oh, I read that. I remember exactly where I saw that little tidbit of information. Then it's kind of that same sort of thing where you're reinforcing that in notes. The same can be said about journaling, because you're acknowledging your feelings. You're acknowledging your like sense of gratitude, sense of self, right? And so that can be really helpful too. So if you want to be not so average, be of that 8% to 22% that are writing and journaling slash note taking. I use all those same things because I think it's a practice in itself where, you know, you're utilizing that skill set and it can be kind of lumped some up together, right? Okay, so next is exercise. So how many steps does the average person get per day? I actually was impressed by all of us, y'all, because there are times where I hardly get any steps. Before, when I was really, really spending so much time doing launches on my computer, I would get like 1,500 steps. It was ridiculous. And now they say sitting is the new smoking, right? Because you're sedentary. I would forget to eat and just be sitting at my computer doing whatever it was. And we're not creatures that are meant to just sit there. So the average American walks 3,000 to 4,000 steps per day, which is roughly around 1.5 to 2 miles. So as a baseline, that to me is not that bad, right? I had read an article on Apple News that had said that we only really need 7,000. So I've been setting my pedometer goal to 7,000. Then I was reading this other research that was saying the research was actually based off of 8,000 steps per day. This was a different article, but it was all research-based and they were doing it off of 8,000 versus 10,000. It is speculated that the 10,000 is just an abstract number, a arbitrary number that was just pulled out of the air by a marketing company who wanted to sell pedometers. Do I know if that's true or not? Maybe, maybe not. But I know that everything becomes part of a marketing ploy, right? It could have been the hook that had some truth to it. Just like breakfast is actually a marketing ploy as well. Like breakfast, the way we see American breakfast, which is eggs, toast, and orange juice, was actually a marketing campaign. So it could be not, but at least this has the benefit to it, right? So 10,000 is the kind of the ongoing one that we all have heard of. 8,000 is where I saw the research was based off of. 7,000 was, I don't know, one article that I read, but the average American gets 3,000 to 4,000 steps a day. On my previous podcast, which was the Product Boss podcast, we had Lori Harder on there, and she is a really big like influencer. She used to be in fitness, and she is of Earn Your Happy. And she is this huge presence on digital marketing and, you know, on the internet, essentially. And she's an author. She's amazing. She is like, I really get inspired by her. And we had her on the podcast. And I remember my aha moment from her podcast episode that we had recorded was that she said, I actually walk 5 miles per day with my husband every single morning. We carve out the time to do that. And I thought, oh my gosh, like she does so many things. She's so amazing. She, you know, is so inspiring. And one of the core things that she does, one of her non-negotiables is to walk 5 miles a day. In my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, that seems like so much. Like 5 miles, what does that even look like? I thought I was going to hike a mountain. And so I thought it was going to be so hard for me to do that. Well, when I Googled it, how many miles is 10,000 or how many miles is 10,000 steps? Guess what it is? 5 miles, roughly 5 miles. So getting those 10,000 steps is Lori Harder equivalent in my mind. Do you need to jump all the way there? You don't have to. You don't have to start with that. Like I said, I had my pedometer goal set to 7,000. I have since raised it to 8,000. And there is going to be, I think it's going to be the month of May that I'm going to challenge myself to get 10,000 steps per day. But anytime that I have a goal like that and I have a challenge, I'm just requiring myself like to hit that goal to meet it 80% of the time. So because I'm human and, you know, there's days that cannot make it happen, that's what I usually go for. So like when I'm looking at, did I hit that 7,000? Did I hit that 8,000? Did I do that for 80% of the time? To me, that feels like pretty darn good. So if you want to live a not so average life, start walking a lot of steps. It is like a domino effect that helps you. Like I said, you know, in episode 2, I always thought that there was something really special about walks that would give me these creative zings. And I had this saying that was like 10K walks create 10K thoughts, because I would always get my most brilliant ideas and, you know, these ideas for launches or courses or, you know, whatever entrepreneurial thing I was trying to do. And, you know, it was either in the shower or on my walks. And it was by getting out of my brain in a way and getting into my body. And so I love that about walks. It makes them like this special me time that I'm doing. And so 10,000 steps a day feels really like a beneficial challenge, but also a way to live a not so average life, right? The domino effect in all of these. Okay, next is reading. So how many books do you think that the average person reads in a year? I actually was pretty impressed by this as well. So the average American adult reads just over 5 books per year. This is like fully read books. If you count the ones that they haven't necessarily completed, the average American then reads 12.6. So they don't finish more than half of those books. But I like the effort, right? So when you're thinking about that and you're doing the math of, you know, 12.6 completed books, that's one completed book per month. So I really do believe that reading can change your life. I heard somebody talking about it. I can't remember the actor, but he was talking about how he loves to read because it's like getting to experience emotions that you necessarily aren't able to experience, experiencing emotion in other people's art. And he used that same sort of art thinking that I had mentioned in a couple episodes back about, you know, your art and another person's art, like, is your business your art? Like for me, I feel like a lot of times in my life, my art is my business, right? Like how I'm doing my self-expression comes out in business a lot of times. There's sometimes it comes out in hobbies. Like I've been really into taking art classes lately or, you know, doing different things. But he was talking about how reading for him submerges him into an emotion that he might not necessarily feel. And it's really helped his kind of like character development, even as an actor himself, right? And so reading 12.6 books per year, fully completed, is basically more than double the average person. So the average person is reading 5 books per month. I have released a book journal because, as you remember, I love note-taking. I love tracking. I love reading in the way that it changes your perspective and also like broadens your mind. Like I just think of it as like exercise for the mind and also like a way to add to your life where like you are really kind of impacting your life in different ways, depending on what you're reading. Like if you're reading fiction, you know, it's exercising like your creativity, your imagination, your innovation. You know, for nonfiction, it's your, you know, that growth, the learning is stimulating different things in your body and in your mind, I mean, different emotions and motivators. So that book journal, when I came out with it, I included in it a 52 book challenge, which means when you calculate it, a book a week. And so when you calculate it, you know, into months, which is what I like to do, because a book a week feels like a lot in a lot of ways. It may not to some people, but that averages around 4 to 5 books per month. And so if you're reading that, that is way above and beyond. You know, if you're just completing the one book, you know, let's say it's the 12 book a year challenge, then that's one book per month. And that seems more doable, right? And so that even is not so average. So here is what the baseline goals for all of you is going to be. So if you can, you're going to hear some clicking from my mouse. If you can spend less than 2.5 hours on social media, you're not so average. If you can drink more than 16 ounce glasses of water per day, you're not so average. If you can spend more than 30 minutes outside per day, you're not so average. If you can spend some time journaling or keeping a journal right now or writing or note taking, however that looks to you, then you are really not so average, because that is only like 8 to 22% of the population. If you can get more than 4,000 steps per day, and you shoot for, let's say, 7 to 8,000 steps, or the 10,000 steps, which is, remember, Lori Harder equivalent in that podcast episode, if you refer back to that one from my former business, then you know that you are exceptional in a lot of ways. But on average, the average American walks 3,000 to 4,000 steps a day. So you're not so average if you're getting more than that. And I think that that is a really, really good domino to start with, because that is, like, in my mind, nobody can walk your legs for you. If you can walk your own legs and get up, and that is a trackable thing, that habit is worth doing, okay? That can pour out of you and have you shine from the inside out. And then if you read more than one book per 2 months, fully read, fully completed, then you are not so average. All of these, you are above average. You are doing more and, like, meeting the bare minimum of what most people do. Now, for all of you, I know that you are above average anyways. You're exceptional in the way that you're probably out there doing a lot of things. You are creating your businesses, you're designing your life, you're listening to this podcast. Not an average person would listen to a podcast. And you're learning on your own. And you're showing up, you're being brave, you're getting out there and putting yourself out there. And the way that you're even able to do that even more so is by taking care of yourself. The average person does not do a good job of taking care of themselves. Just by pouring into yourself a little bit more than the average person, you are above average. And that can really lead to more changes in your life, because you're keeping promises to yourself. You're committing to yourself. You're holding yourself accountable to being not so average. And it doesn't feel so far away. You're taking it step by step, day by day, and you're creating that compound effect of taking those steps, that first step and the next step and the next step of being not so average. And I know that you have it in you, because, like I said, you're already doing stuff that a not so average person does. So I'm really proud of you for all of that. And I want you to be proud of yourself too. And I want you to take care of yourself and prioritize taking care of yourself, so then you can better live and design the life that you want for yourself and operate in the way that feels so good and feels really spacious and energy giving and just give you the life that you want. Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody. And thanks so much for listening. I will see you next time. Chat soon.